Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I'm the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the host of the Everything Coworking Podcast. This episode is brought to you by my program, the Coworking Startup School. I just wrapped up a session a couple of weeks ago, which I think I mentioned on the last episode, and I think I'll get one more on the calendar this year. So if you want to get on the list to learn more, go to www.coworkingstartupschool.com. This program is for you if you are investing in your coworking space and want to avoid costly mistakes and stress by getting expert and peer support in a highly facilitated environment. We want to make sure that you create the right space for you and your target market right from the beginning. And I want to make sure that you get the business model right so that you're set up for financial sustainability that matches your goals. So we'll start by reviewing your pro forma and helping you with your product mix. Work our way through the other phases of starting a co-working space, including sourcing furniture, working with vendors, hiring the right team, learning how to run the space yourself, getting set up with the right tech, getting your marketing systems down, and more. The program is designed to make sure you have a clear view of what it takes to start a co-working space from business model to launch, with plenty of opportunities to ask questions that are specific to your model, your space, and your goals. And you can learn more by going to www.coworkingstartupschool.com. I have to mention this week was flight group call week. So everybody who's been through the startup school program drops into, it's optional, but everybody chooses to do it, drops into an ongoing flight group program. And we do a call once a month. So anybody who has not yet launched their space, we spend time solving kind of just-in-time challenges or things they're trying to figure out or planning ahead, you know, around hiring or construction, design, which software program to use, all those good things. And then we have the group who has launched and they are trying to optimize their operations, make sure they have the right leadership systems in place. Oftentimes this week we had a couple of folks talking about location number two. So it was a fun week and I love keeping up with the flight groups and it helps me really stay close to what everybody's thinking about in the industry and what they're trying to figure out and what they're trying to solve. And speaking of, thank you, Ellen, who's in my program, for your recent podcast iTunes review. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to help other co-working space operators or future space operators find this resource, please leave a review for the podcast in iTunes. That would be super helpful. Just like we need Google reviews for our spaces to make sure that people find them and that we pop up first in the search results for local co-working spaces, the podcast system kind of works the same way on iTunes. iTunes loves reviews and tends to give people search results if they have, or show people higher in the search results if they have good reviews. So take a moment to do that if you don't mind. So today, this is going to be, last week is a little bit shorter and sweet, and this week's going to be a teensy bit shorter and sweet too. I'm working on some interview episodes that I'm really looking forward to sharing with you that are more sort of training, learning, topic related. So I'm spending some extra time prepping for those. But I had a couple of topics top of mind that I wanted to cover. One, I think I talked about last week, which was one of the big takeaways from the FlexOffice conference. So we're going to talk about the power of being an independent co-working space brand. So by independent, I mean not public. Your spaces are not 50,000 square feet each. Your strategy is not focused on dense urban areas to fill your space. And probably your space is less than, you know, 15 to 20,000 square feet. You might have multiple of them, but you'd still be kind of considered an independent brand. So 68% of the co-working flex office market is made up of operators outside of the top six national companies. So almost three quarters of the market is not WeWork, not Knotel, not Regus, not Premier Business Centers, etc. We are, however, seeing that the market share by number of locations is growing for the larger operators. So for 2018, the estimated share of center locations, co-working space locations, is 36% held by top operators. And that is up from the last few years. So operators are generally, so the top operators are taking larger spaces and more spaces, but mostly in central business districts. So that leaves a lot of market opportunities for successful independent operators that want to make a local impact. So we're going to talk about that good news today. Here are five powerful reasons it can pay to be small but mighty. Number one, even if you plan to be big and mighty and be in all the major markets in your country or globally, you may choose to do a lower risk launch to prove a market, prove your concept, start small, get your unit model down, and grow from there. If you think you want to have multiple locations, starting small and really nailing that first location can be a great way to get your financial superpowers on to attract investors or get bank loans. It's super hard to get a bank loan if you don't already have lots of money in the bank. That's the chicken or egg. It takes money to make money, right? So you may choose to start small to show you know how to run a co-working space, you know how to fill that thing up, you know how to market, you know how to serve your customer, and show the banks that you have a successful business model so that they will support you in your second location. And you may be an independent brand that just wants multiple locations in a specific market or in a specific region. Or you may want to attract family and friends investors, but you want to prove to them first that you can rock a 5,000 square foot space first. Or you're in a small market. I go back to I think in the 60s of my episodes, I should have looked this up, but I interviewed the folks from Tahoe Mountain Lab, and they talk about starting that population of South Lake Tahoe, where they're located, is 11,000 people. That's not very many people. So they said, we need to figure out if this is going to work. So they started with 2,000 square feet, and it did work. And then they grew into 10,000 square feet and they bought the building, and they have a great lifestyle business that's working really well for them, but they started small to prove their concept. So I love that. You may also be trying to figure out, what is my brand? Who is my avatar? What's my product mix? What are the marketing tactics that work in my area? And all those things may be a little less stressful to do with a smaller location that you can fill faster. Okay, number two. Geographic freedom to own a market. Can you own Chicago? I don't know. There certainly are, you know, WeWork has hundreds of thousands of square feet. I think Novel, which just rebranded from Level Office, has hundreds of thousands of square feet in Chicago. So the big brands are really taking a lot of space in central business districts in cities like Chicago, LA, New York, where there's a high population density and lots of people looking for flexible workspace. That doesn't mean you can't be successful in one of those markets, because I think that there are lots of people looking for lots of different types of spaces. I can't tell you how many times an operator will say, you know, I started a space because I just didn't find what I needed in my market. That is still the case. There is not a space for everyone. Not everyone wants a WeWork or a Regus or a Novel, you know, or an Industrious. Like, some people really love the local, kind of more eclectic, not saying unprofessional, but unique local vibe. So there is room for everyone in the market today. That may change at some point. We'll talk about that when that starts to happen. So if your goal is not market domination, you can serve areas that are not served by the top 10 operators, areas that need collaborative, flexible office space, but may not have the population density to draw a WeWork or an Industrious or a Regus. And that means that if you're in a suburban area or a smaller city, you can serve your community without worrying about a WeWork going in down the street. And again, I think that you can compete with a WeWork being down the street if you are different enough and have a compelling enough story and have the right space for your avatar and have the right marketing strategy and tactics to get in front of your avatar. If those things are in place, then you too can compete with WeWork. So I'm not saying you can't, even if you're in a central business district and WeWork shows up down the street or you choose to locate near them. But there is a certain amount of freedom that comes with saying, look, I'm going to own a market where WeWork will probably never come, or Industrious will probably never come. I do want to mention, I just noticed a bullet point in my notes from number one, the lower risk launch. Make sure to listen to episode number 72, where I talk about how to decide what size co-working space you should start. So if you decide to start small, still make sure that the business model works and that it meets your immediate and longer term financial goals. So your short term goals may be different than your long term goals, and that, so it may be okay to do a smaller space. But if you need to cover a certain amount of income from your space, you may have to do a larger space right from the get-go. So make sure you listen to episode number 72 if you have not yet and are trying to figure out what size space is right for you. So back to the five powerful reasons it can pay to be small but mighty. The first was a lower risk launch. And then the second was geographic freedom to own a market. The third is you can build more authentic relationships. If you walk into a 50,000 square foot shared workspace staffed by a community manager and an operations manager, it may be the case that they don't know your dog's name, or that you love hazelnut creamer in your coffee, or that you have a big launch coming up in your business. They're more leanly staffed, not all the time, but they might be, and it's hard to keep up with the hundreds of people that are running around a 50,000 square foot co-working space, right? So you can't blame them, but you may be an owner that wants to develop more individual relationships with your members. And there are lots of members out there who want the same thing from their co-working space. So again, you can absolutely serve a community on a larger scale, but it will be in a less intimate way. And when you have a smaller space, even, you know, 15 to 20,000 square feet, which is not very small, you and your team can know every member, and you can know them as individuals, not just people that work in your space. You can know stories about their kids. You can know what's important in their life right now. You can have actual meaningful conversations just about the weather when they walk in the morning. And then things like your member events will be smaller and more personal. You'll know your members, but your members will also likely know each other better and potentially create a tighter knit and more sticky community, which can be a great business model to have. More enjoyable and better for business. We love that, right? Number four, kind of related to number three, you can have a bigger impact on your internal and external community when you are independent and small but mighty. Being an independent business owner without institutional investors allows you to run your business in a way that serves your needs and your goals. Now, I'm not sure how much detail SoftBank gets into when they're looking at their $4 billion investment in WeWork, but you can bet that at some point they're questioning what WeWork is spending money on and spending time on. And WeWork has to think about what, you know, lines up with the return the investors expect when they make decisions about what to bring to their community, how to design their spaces, etc. So you can bet part of their brain is always thinking about maximizing profit. And I am a pretty strong capitalist with my University of Chicago MBA. So I'm all about the profits too, but I'm also about the idea that you can start your own business and run it your way. And sometimes every decision is not about the profits. One example I have is our member events. We're always struggling, so we like to offer lunch sometimes. And as we've gotten more members and more members showing up to lunch, that's getting harder to do. I kind of refuse to serve pizza. Now, pizza is about the cheapest thing that you can buy for a member event, so I get it. But I'm a health nut, and I used to work at Kraft Foods, which only makes processed food. And that was my first job out of business school, and I was trying to be healthy and manage an exercise schedule and sort of remain sane. And every meeting we had that included food was pizza or Oreos or, you know, you name it, high calorie, not good for you. And I hated that culture. And I said, I will never do that. So we kind of make it a rule. We're not serving things like pizza to compel people to eat that stuff during the day when otherwise they'd be eating their own healthier lunch that they packed or got down the street. So things like that, pizza equals cheap, but I'm the business owner and my value system doesn't align with that. So we're not going to serve pizza. And I don't have an investor that I have to answer to explain that, which is great. And I'm not saying investors are bad, by the way, because to grow, we all eventually need investors. So make sure you explain your value system to your investors up front and that they see that it aligns with you attracting the right members and building a great business. So I think you can have both. But you can also do things like maybe you want to donate your event space to local nonprofits. Maybe that's important to you. You want to, you know, leave an imprint on your community and support folks that are making a difference in the community through space that you have, and you don't feel the need to monetize that. I did that a lot when I was in Chicago. I thought, you know, my way to give back is I have space, right? And I don't need to monetize that space all the time. So I would allocate some after hours event time to donate space to local nonprofits. You might want to create a mentor program that serves local youth. You might want to spend your time on that, or ask your staff to spend a little bit of time on that. You can do that. You can give your staff the headspace to focus on member interactions and member events. You can even have a staffing ratio that's a little bit more generous and allows for greater level of hospitality if you wish. Not to pick on WeWork, but they're pretty leanly staffed. And so when you go in, there's not necessarily someone that can pay attention to you unless you have an appointment for a tour. So, and that is not because they are chatting with members all day long. They are operating the space. So the takeaway there is when you are a successful small business owner and you still need to be successful, you need to be small and mighty and rocking it, then you get to call the shots. And the last one that I want to talk about is the ability to niche or differentiate. You probably can't be WeWork and go niche. Now, there certainly are national brands that are niching. So The Wing is an example. They are launching in San Francisco shortly. I have not been in a Wing yet. Not really my cup of tea, but I am super interested in the community that they create, because The Wing is really not about space, right? There is not a task chair to be found at The Wing. They are about a place where people can come and be a part of a community that's meaningful to them. And maybe they're going to get a little bit of work done while they're there, but that's not the primary plan. So when you are smaller but mighty, you can choose to niche if you want. And we could talk about that on a separate episode. There are certainly pros and cons to niching a workspace, but if you're an independent brand and you're not worried about having a presence in every major market in your country, you can choose to niche. You can find and serve your tribe and create a community that supports a specific industry or a specific commitment, like one to wellness or diversity. So those are my top five reasons. I will run through them one more time really quickly, that you might choose to be small but mighty. And again, small doesn't mean not successful. Small doesn't mean not profitable. Small means independent, boutique-y, just not the WeWork or the Starbucks. So here are the five reasons. Maybe you choose to start small to have a lower risk launch. Maybe you choose it to have geographic freedom to own a market that might be smaller, more suburban, or a third tier city in your country. Maybe you do it because you want to build more authentic relationships and be really engaged with your members. Maybe you want to choose to have a bigger impact on your internal and external community and be able to make business decisions that support that and aren't always 100% focused on creating profit margin in your business. And the last one is the ability to niche or differentiate. Awesome. So I hope this was just kind of helpful in helping you think about some of the advantages. I would guess most of my audience falls into the non-WeWork, non-Regis category, that we have a lot going for us and we are a big part of the market. And it's also another reason for us to stick together and learn from each other, right? Let's not think of each other as competitors. We are in this together to help each other be successful. So how can we work together? How can we show up at events like conferences and engage and share best practices and support each other and pick each other up when we're having a rough day in our individual market? And on the event note, I have to mention, since I didn't mention this at the beginning, the Global Workspace Association is doing a live event. So we run usually via Zoom, so sort of webinar style, a co-working council series once a month that focuses on professional development for operators. And we are taking our hottest 2018 topic live to New York. We will be at the Players Club on November 15th. And it is like, we're getting down to business. It is not just sort of panel, hit the bar for happy hour. We are delivering content that will help you learn specific learning objectives and take away knowledge and case studies that can help you expand your business. So the topic is staffing as you scale, and it's focused on helping you decide when to hire additional staff, probably at the executive level team, how to staff as you add new locations, how to implement leadership systems so that you're culture and your productivity and all those things continue to be strong as you grow. We'll have sample org charts and lots of examples of how successful operators have scaled. So we're building all of that content ahead of time, and then we'll also have some local operators there on hand for color commentary. And you will get a certification on staffing as you scale at the end of that session. So if you're local to New York or just think it's a really compelling topic and want to make the trip, make sure you check that out. It's on the Global Workspace Association site under events and regional events. Okay, have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.